Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight.
Ha ha, the drums are back!
Woo!
La la la!
Good evening. Welcome to the program. I am your host, Mudtoe Sasquatch. This is Mudtoe at Midnight. Back on good old Skype this week after a four-week absence, not entirely planned. Take you through this if you haven't been listening recently. I have sort of two choices. I can do this show over Skype, which sounds kind of nice, and I have audio clips and things I can play, or I can do it over my cell phone, which is not quite so nice, but perhaps a bit more intimate. I don't know, intimate. Is that the right word? I can't use Skype, basically. I call in on my cell phone is how it works. And the first one of this sort of series of four cell phone-based episodes of Mudtoe at Midnight happened by, it was planned. I went to a high school reunion, and I did the show from there. I couldn't take Skype with me, so I took my cell phone. And the second week, I think, wasn't planned. Anyway, I should have researched this. If I was going to tell this story this way, I should have researched it so I'd know what it was. Long story short, too late. 4 weeks in a row, I've been on my cell phone for one reason or another, and a lot of it has been because my Skype hasn't been working. It's not that it hasn't been. What happens is we have an account, those of us who do these shows on withinsights.com. There are four of us. Just go through it because I'm going to have to do it anyway. Iggy and Rosa are on Mondays. Jenny Seek is on Tuesdays. Mondays at 6. Jenny Seek is on Tuesdays at 7. Heather Tapia is on Wednesdays at some sort of time that kind of floats. And so Google it or check out on the With Insights website, and it'll have the current time, I'm sure. And then me Friday at midnight. And we have one Skype account that we share. That way we don't have to pay for to phone in and be able to do the show. Not that it's, you know, terribly expensive to phone in on Skype, but it was a nice convenience, nice thing for Iggy to do for us. So took advantage of that. Well, I was getting ready to do my show. It was either 3 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago. I can't remember. You have to go back in the archive. You could if I ever were to update it. But anyway, I was like within minutes of starting the show, and I was getting these messages: update your Skype. You need to update your Skype. You need to update your Skype. And of course, I didn't want to do it because I was just, you know, I was about to start the show, and I didn't want to mess anything up. Well, it got to the point where it was interfering with my what I was trying to do. So finally, I said, okay, go ahead and download the upgrade. So it did it, and then ever since then, I haven't been able to access the group Skype account. And that's what I've been trying to figure out how to do for the last several weeks. And today I gave up, haven't been able to make it work, so I just put $10 on my Skype account. And I'm doing the show on my own dime tonight because I just got tired of talking to the cell phone and wondering if anybody was actually hearing me. Now I can talk. I have my Skype up, and I can talk to my computer and wonder if anybody is actually hearing me. And you can let me know by tweeting me on Twitter. I have a good old Twitterfall up now. If you're not familiar with Twitterfall, it's a tweet syndicating service which picks up tweets from locations that one specifies. I kind of like it. The reason I mention it is if you were to tweet me right now, I would see it. I would be able to respond immediately. It's probably the most efficient way to get a hold of me. I do have the capability to answer telephone calls. However, I fear it. So often people who call me, I will sometimes ignore it. I think it's like it's a long story. It goes back to when I was working in an office and I just could never make the phones do the things that they were supposed to do. But I'll go ahead and read the guest call-in number. If you're a brave soul, you can call me at 646-595-3440. And you know, who knows, maybe I'll even pick up your call. I should warn you, I don't do the kind of things that, you know, I'm not a, you know, Iggy will do readings for you, and I think Jenny does too. I don't think Heather does, but I don't really do readings. Although, I guess I gave some relationship advice once, and I'm a really, really bad person to ask for relationship advice. But anyway, I don't know, for whatever reason you want to talk to me, because otherwise, I like getting input from you people out there, because otherwise, I'm just sitting here talking, and I just don't know if that's terribly interesting or not. I feel that my calling is to speak and to write, so I do that. But I try and have that take its shape both from my own experience and then from the clues that people give me as to things I probably ought to be talking about or writing about. And without those clues, I just have to kind of wing it, kind of like I'm doing now. So that's it. We're here today. I didn't light incense today. I wanted to mention this because I want to thank Susie Garcia for this. Where did I put it? Oh, I left it on the shrine table. I had these essential oils, Young Living essential oils that some friends of mine do some stuff with, and I bought a kit from them and. Had a number of bottles of these essential oils, and I was going through them on the show for a while and didn't seem to be generating a lot of interest on your side, so I kind of let it go. But one of the things in there is frankincense, and frankincense is a very nice essential oil and has sort of a distinct pungent smell, and it really wakes you up. Peppermint does kind of the same thing, but frankincense does it in, I think, sort of a different way, not quite as... I don't know. Maybe later I'll think of a word to describe it. But anyway, frankincense is kind of nice. It's kind of the Maserati of essential oils hitting you in the face, waking you up, as opposed to peppermint's probably more like the Toyota Corolla of the same function. So anyway, I had this bottle of frankincense, and it was very nice, but I gave it away. I gave it away to a woman in an attempt to impress her. And it did not work. The lady was not impressed. Let's put it that way. I don't know that she wasn't impressed. It did not advance the agenda that Mudto had hoped would be advanced, which it might have been done more effectively by just talking to her, but you know that's what intelligent people do. That's what reasonable people do. That's not what I do. So anyway, I was out a bottle of frankincense, which is fine. You know, I made up my mind that I was not. You know, I wasn't going to have any expectations. This was a gift. You know, nothing was expected in return, even though I didn't really get anything in return. But I wasn't going to fret over the loss of the frankincense, and I haven't. But I did have. See, the word "but" means forget everything I just said and listen to this part. I was over visiting Susie, who's Iggy's wife, and she does this Yatz Kulatz thing for me. It's sort of a Native American / Reiki / yoga / type of where they manipulate your limbs and it gets the energy moving. And she combines that with her essential oils, and one of the ones she was using was frankincense. And I happened to mention that I kind of missed my frankincense and. Told her the story of why I didn't have mine anymore, and you know, I hadn't replaced it because it is kind of pricey. Well, she had a little bit left in her bottle and a whole bottle in reserve, so she just gave me her partial bottle of frankincense. She gifted it to me, so thanks to Susie Garcia for that, and also for giving me one hell of a haircut this morning. And I also wanted to thank, who am I thanking? Andy Metzger for gifting me several lighters. The lighters, you know what you call them? That's those things with the long lighters that you light. I light incense with them. It's kind of easier than lighting it with a cigarette lighter or something like that. It's got this sort of, you know, a handle that you hold onto and like a gun trigger, and you got to hold the one thing down so the gas comes out, and then it's got a big long sort of tube at the end, and you can light things from a distance. I light my stove with it. You know, I light my incense with it. And mine had run out, and I was sort of fretting because I had to get to the store and buy one of these. And he said, well, I have a bunch of those. Let me, I have the oddest feeling that I have misreported Andy's last name, which I'm terrible about. See if I can find it here. There's Bobby. Bobby Decker is Andy's significant other. She's the egg lady. She's also is in charge of our community farming effort, which means she does about 99% of the work, but we're working to change that. Where are you? Andy, did I say Metzger? I believe I did. It is Andy Metzger. So, I was right. My identification of the gentleman is confirmed. So hoorah for me. Okay, so I wanted to talk about the Chicago teachers strike tonight. Let me do the football update first. The football update is the game was pretty bad tonight. Those of you who haven't listened before, I film high school football games on Friday nights during football season. Had pretty good luck I'm sorry, I'm terrible at multitasking. A caller has just come up and it just froze my brain. I'll get to you in just a second, caller. I have pretty good luck with the games so far this year. Tonight's was a real stinker. One of the things was one of the teams is one of these that runs sort of a cute offense. You know, they throw a lot of, they throw all passes, and they have all kind of, they put, you know, too many receivers in, and they onsides kick on every, instead of kicking away, they always onsides kick, they always 2-point conversion, you know, really trying to, you know, we're going to get you, because nobody's ever thought of this before. And what's fun about this team was they sucked. They really sucked. They weren't very good at it at all. I got the story from somebody from that high school, said they had hired a coach away from one of the bigger city high schools who did this, because they were trying to turn this new place into the small version of that one by introducing this offense, and it just hasn't. So far, you know, it may catch on after a while. But what it has the effect of doing is making the game really, really long. And it was kind of chilly tonight, and it wasn't the most comfortable place in the world. I did have to deal with a ladder tonight. First time this season I've had to deal with a ladder going up to where I was going to film from. But in all, it wasn't too bad of a ladder, so I got up and down it without seriously compromising my – again, for those of you who haven't listened before, I always fear the ladder because I'm afraid I'm going to embarrass myself going up and down it, because I don't really know how to climb a ladder. I've never been given those instructions. So I'm trying to learn at 47 years old how to climb a ladder. Tonight I think I did pretty good. One of the things I'm trying to remember is that I don't have to put both of my feet on each rung going all the way down. That really slows me down. I have the confidence that next rung is actually going to be there. So I did that. I did pretty well with that tonight. I was pretty proud of myself. So football game, not so great, kind of long. And I had to deal with a ladder, but I dealt with it pretty well. So on balance, pretty good football Friday night. Okay, I think I'm going to go ahead and take this call, and then we'll talk about the Chicago teacher strike. No, that's not the right button. See, this is the thing. I'm going to speak to... Aha, something's happening. Phone number 0944, you're on the air with Mato Sasquatch.
Hi there.
Hello.
Are you, is this show, are you guys doing any kind of readings tonight or no?
Actually, I don't do readings. You're probably thinking of Iggy and Rosa's show on Monday. They do a lot of readings. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry
to
disappoint you.
No, that's fine. Okay, I just wanted to ask that.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you. You have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, how about that? Actually, I used to get that a lot when the show first started. because it is on the sort of the same channel, and Rosa and Iggy really do attract quite a nice little audience of people who are asking for like short little readings, sometimes not so short. And I have joined them on their show occasionally and done, you know, dipped my toe in just a little bit. I just don't feel that's not my gift. It's not my calling. I don't feel particularly comfortable trying to give people readings. I feel much more comfortable sort of developing a narrative from within myself. And then my feeling is that the spirit will lead people who need to see it to a place where they can see it. So that's pretty much what I'm into. And one of the purposes of this show ostensibly is to promote that. I'm talking, this show is the talking part. And if I can ever get off my butt and start doing it, I got to, you know, write the book and have start people being able to see what the things that I've written. You can see the smaller, shorter samples of my writing on my website, which is mudtoesasquatch.com. Please, if you get a chance, take a look at that. Tell me what you think. And the book will be a selection of longer pieces of writing. The stuff on the website is just sort of a sample, just sort of a little sample for you. Okay, but I want to talk about the Chicago teacher strike, okay? What I want to say about it, it's made me think about it would be better if I prepared for these things, wouldn't it? Let me take a drink here. The main issue, I haven't done a lot of research on this, the main issue as I understand it is that the proposal from the city, the contract, wants to tie the teachers' compensation and then ultimately retention, whether they keep their jobs or not, to students' performance on a standardized test. And I have very mixed feelings about standardized tests. And one way, I like them because I happen to be pretty good at them. That doesn't do me a whole lot of good now because I'm way far away from any time I'm ever going to have to take a standardized test for anything. Of course, I took all the ones coming out of high school before I started college, and I had to take, what is it called? There's one you have to take to get into graduate school. And I took it, and they didn't tell me. I took it on the computer. And what they do when you take it on the computer is they ask you a question and you answer it. And if you get it right, then they give you a harder question. If they give it, if you get it wrong, they give you an easier question. So you don't. It's not like you're taking this whole set of the same questions everybody else takes. The question is, or the whole test is geared to how well you're doing. Are you doing badly? Or are you doing well? So the idea is, if you're if the questions keep getting harder and harder, that means you're doing well. Okay. Well, nobody told me that. So I'm taking this test, and the questions are just getting impossible. They're getting unmanageable. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting killed. You know, and I had to get these test results. These test results were supposed to be in, and I was supposed to start classes like in 2 months. And you know, how am I ever going to, you know, do I have time to take it again? This is what's going through my head as I'm trying to finish up this test. You know, it would have been useful to have known that that sort of impossible test was a sign that I was actually doing pretty well. So I got in, I went into graduate school, and I never have to worry about standardized tests anymore unless I'm a teacher, and then it's not my standardized test I have to worry about, it's everybody else's. When I was 18, I took the ACT, and I got a 33 composite, which is pretty good. And I could not tell you one thing that was on that test. Now, I know there was a science section, there was a math section, there was a social studies section, there's an English section probably. But as far as the things that these nuggets of knowledge that I was supposed to be taking with me out of high school into college, they're going to be so vital for my success, none of that has stayed with me. I mean, I might be able to go back and do the test. I tend to doubt it, but I might recognize it if I saw it again now. What I'm saying is, if someone said, based on your experience, Mudtoe, from having taken the ACT, which is a reflection of what society says we're supposed to know going from high school into college. Based on your having taken it, what would you say that knowledge base is? What is it like? I couldn't tell you because, you know, I prepared for the test and I took it. And once I had the number that I needed, I promptly forgot everything because it was of no use to me. I know that it was not of any use to me because if it was of any use to me, I would remember it now. And I'm not saying the things like, you know, you're taking history or social studies, right? I'm not saying those are useless things. I like history. You know, I like social studies, I like economics. I like those things. But as far as essential knowledge that I was going to need if I was going to succeed at anything, I couldn't even tell you what that was because I don't remember it. Don't remember it. And the whole idea, I use the word preparation too. I mean, if the idea is to test my readiness, to test what I have learned, why should preparation even enter into it? And yet, the people who write the standardized tests also write preparation materials, which would seem to defeat the purpose. So I'm saying now, I'm coming at this from the one direction where I was, you know, I'm white, I was middle class. I had a mother who drove me constantly to get my schoolwork done. I was always well-fed. I didn't have a whole lot to worry about. I think at one time in high school, my father's job was in jeopardy, but that didn't last for very long, and he was never out of work. So, you know, there was never that question, where is my next meal coming from? There was never that question, is someone going to break into our house and rob us blind tonight, because that never happened. There was never that question, is somebody going to hit me over the head on my way to school? Because I lived in I went to a nice suburban school. I was free of those things that would keep me from being able to look at a piece of knowledge, hand me a book, learn this knowledge, do it on the test, and that's just, there was nothing interfering with that process. So I did well. But if I were to have lived in the inner city and there was gunfire going on around my house every night, if maybe my father wasn't around, if maybe some other guy that I didn't know was around and he was beating the shit out of my mother all the time. And again, I don't want to get into this. I'm going to say, okay, you're stereotyping. There's an environment in which there's not safety in that environment. And then we go to people who grow up in that environment. We ask them to do the same thing. Learn this knowledge, learn this body of knowledge, pass this test. And the body of knowledge itself was designed to reflect the sensibilities of the people who are going to that nice suburban school. And not, you know, the people who dodging color wars, or if that's the word, that's what they used to call it back when I was a kid. I don't know what they call it now. But the expectation is that the test is going to apply to those kids as well as to kids who have all the advantages, the distinct advantage of not being afraid all the time, the distinct advantage of not being hungry all the time. So now you're going into a classroom and you as a teacher are responsible for these tests being at a certain level. And part of it I could do something about as a teacher. You know, I can offer to model, I can show, I can demonstrate. But to someone who, you know, someone who probably isn't going to eat when they go home tonight, how do I expect that they're going to retain that? So I'm saying, what I'm driving at in a very roundabout way is, I think we have to think very carefully when we lay it at the feet of the teacher. I say this: you have to, in order to qualify for higher rates of pay, you have to somehow wave your magic wand and make kids forget what's waiting for them at home, and get them to learn this material that has nothing to do with anything in their lives. It has no obvious relevance to anything It's a very esoteric experience to say, well, you remember, you do this, and you'll get out of school, and then you get to go to college, and you'll be able to make a better life for yourself. Well, maybe, but that's still a very esoteric idea. You know, better life for yourself, what does that mean? And how does this sort of random gobbledygook get me there? And you know, I'm telling this story, again, I don't have any real authority to tell this story. I did not come from that sort of background. And I really hope I have not offended anyone listening who may have come to that kind of may have come from that background. And if I've said something that isn't correct, or that you think needs to be corrected, please do. I'm very open to hearing that. But the reason I say it is, I think it has to be remembered that it isn't the function of whether your students hit that number or not is not just a function of the effectiveness of the teacher. There are other things that go into it. There's what the student is not a blank slate coming in every day. The student always brings into the classroom what's at home every day, always brings that with them. And that needs to be recognized and it needs to be dealt with. And a skillful teacher can do that, not with everyone, but in some cases. But I don't think it's not fair or appropriate. I mean, you're dealing with the whole issue of standardized tests, whether that's really a good way to judge people. And second, with a society's refusal to fix what's really wrong with education, we want to lay it at the feet of the teachers, say, well, those damn teachers, they're failing us. When the fact is that the fact that students come into school hungry is a failure of society. It doesn't have anything to do with the teacher, and yet compromise the teacher's ability to do what their job is supposed to be. So I guess that's, you know, people say, where do you stand? Where do you stand? I don't know where I stand. I have a problem with the compensation and retention being tied to standardized test scores. On the other hand, I recognize it seems counterproductive to me if I was there in the school, teaching in the school system, to walk off my job when I know there is a legion of young teachers who have just come out of college and don't have jobs, who would have no problem taking my place. So and in the meantime, kids who, you know, maybe they're the only square meal they get every day is in school. You aren't in school because of the strike. So maybe this is the wrong time to try and fight this battle. Maybe this is the wrong venue to fight this battle, because you're not going to win it here. The school teachers are not going to get a more equitable solution to accountability. So maybe this isn't the time or the place to draw the line in the sand. I've just gotten my 90-second warning. There was something else on my mind, but while I was making that last point, it went away. So I'll just sit here and keep smelling my frankincense, which really woke me up before the show. I've got to finish processing my football film. I'm going to get that done before I hit the hay, because I have to get out early in the morning, and because the big university has their football game, and I have to take my car off of the street and take it someplace and park it and get my bus pass and get some business done. So I want to thank you for listening to the Mud Toe at Midnight show. Again, if you have any ideas for things you would like to hear me talk about, issues of the day you'd like to hear me weigh in on, just experiences in my life that you'd like to hear me narrate, I'm more than happy to do so. Just tweet me at mudtoesasquatch or email me mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening, and have a pleasant evening.